How do people listen? Yep, this is a topic which will be dear to everybody's heart, listening, because I think all of us want to be listened to. From the very earliest time in our life that we're able to differentiate between ourselves and the other person, we want to be listened to. We want our needs to be attended to. We want attention. And as we grow a bit older, we differentiate between attention and different types of attention. And we, as life goes on, we refer to somebody else attending to us as being giving us a good listen. So the topic of this particular piece of audio is how do people listen? And the context in which I'm making the audio is that there is an ongoing conversation about listening over on Audio Boom. It's the 4th of February, 2015. Okay, it reminds me, this question of listening reminds me of something that I learned a long time ago, which is that if you're in a nightclub and you spot somebody on the other side of the room whom you find very attractive, and you'd actually like to make out with them or have, you know, get into their good books, whatever that should mean. There are only two things you can do as you cross the room. You go up to them and you can either tell them something about yourself, in other words, broadcast, or you can seek information about them. So you got two possibilities. Every type of action you're going to take falls into one of those two categories. If you go over and you say, you know, do you come here often? That is gathering information. You're going to listen to what they have to say, or at least that's, you're finding out something about them. Do you come here often? If you say, you know, music's bloody loud over here, that's telling them something about your own experience. So they're the two categories. So we're really talking about simplifying the what could be a very large and complex issue. There are two guys, Joe and Harry, who in the 1960s came up with a thing called Johari Window. And if you remember now that there, if you draw a square on a piece of paper, and in the square, across the top line of the square, you put a mark which indicates how much you're revealing about yourself. How much you're revealing about yourself, and you reveal a certain amount about yourself, but you keep some things back. And then down the left-hand side of the square, you put a mark, and that's how much you collect about the other person. And then you draw a line. Oh dear, I'm getting very, very, this is very confusing. But imagine a square and you end up with a box in which everything fits openly. I'm having difficulty gathering my thoughts, I have to say. But And that box represents things that are out in the open between the two of you. Things that are known to both of you, if you like. And another box... No, I'm going to stop talking about Johari's window. I'm just not in the right frame of mind to do so. Let me take this issue of listening in another direction then, instead. That... There is a number of different things that go under the heading of listening. The one that is most rich and is most deep and most moving and that is most desired by people is that they be actively listened to. So that when they say something, the other person says back to them what they have heard. So I give you an example. Suppose I start telling somebody, look, I've had a lousy week. I've had a row with my wife. My children don't love me anymore. I've had a really bad dose of flu. And my boss has been a real shit to me. And you say that to somebody, and if they say back to you, God, sounds like you've had a really, really tough week. Not only did you have the boss on to you, you have trouble with your wife, you've got your daughter who doesn't like you anymore, and you've got the booming flu. That is an awful lot. That is an example. If you stop there, that's an example of actively listening to somebody. It's where you reflect back to them what they have said to you. And the purpose of doing it is so that you can check with them whether you've heard them adequately. That kind of listening to somebody in which you reflect back what they have said to you in such a way that they can tweak it, that's deep listening. That's the sort of thing that when I listen to the great McCulgan from Scotland talking about this earlier this evening, and he ended up in a conclusion and said, look, people hardly ever really do listen these days. There are only a tiny number of people who listen. And the reason is, I think, that people haven't acquired the skill and maybe haven't got the disposition which makes them want to actively listen to other people. I think I certainly find the word attending to be more exact than listening. I mean, a lot of people, if you said to them what is the best indication that somebody is listening, they would say, well, if the person keeps quiet while I'm talking, that means they're listening, even though if you then subject that to a further, you know, chat or interrogation or whatever, everybody knows darn well that the fact that somebody keeps quiet doesn't mean at all that they're listening. They could just simply be, you know, mentally at a football match while they're just keeping quiet while you rabbit on about what you're interested in. So what I'm really flying the flag for, really, is the usefulness of the word attending. And you can attend to somebody by quietly allowing them to say what they want to say within reason. I'll come back to that in a second. And saying things like, interesting, carry on, say more, tell me more. And if you want to go beyond the stage of saying to somebody, tell me more, you need to, at some point, if somebody's going on for too long, you need to interrupt them and to say to them, look, let me just check if I've heard you right. I'd like to check, you know, to see if I'm understanding what you're saying to me. It sounds to me like as if. And that, those kind of skills, for example, in being able to listen to people in a valuable way, in a way that will give the person who's done the speaking a good insight into what they've communicated, but also give the listener an opportunity to check whether there is ambiguity or difference between you. That's something that can be learned. That's something that can be learned as a skill. I used to train people on how to actively listen to other people while I was doing management development training. I don't think it is human nature. I don't think it's anything to do with human nature. I think unless, you know, if somebody can be trained, if you like, shown how to do it and coached to be able to actively listen to another person, then, and I do think that, well, almost anybody who I met is capable of being trained and to actively listen to other people. To develop the habit of listening to other people is a different issue altogether. So I don't think I think it's to do with habits. I would fly the flag for our listening or attending habits are what it's worth talking about rather than talking about human nature. I think the other thing is that if somebody comes up and says to us, you know, how are you today? They're, depending on the tone of voice, that is a real question which, you know, is put in order to gain information about how you are today, or else it's nothing other than, you know, another form of saying hi. It's a form of politeness. It's what Eric Byrne called pastibing, really. It's not, in other words, it's not deep, serious. It's not meant, though the words say one thing, it's not meant to be deep opportunity to have a meaningful discussion. So if somebody starts with, "How are you doing, Mick?" and you say back to them, "Asher, I'm fine, how are you?" That's pastiming. What happens next? Eric Byrne wrote a book called What Do You Say After You Say Hello? And it's, Byrne uses a distinction between, certainly between pastimes, and on the other level, you know, serious, meaningful conversation. And in between the two are things like, which he calls games people play. And why I'm into Eric Byrne and even mentioning him now, I'm not quite sure, except that I think that the issue of what do you say after you say hello is it's a pretty valuable question. So in answer to the topic, or in response to the topic, how do we listen? Do people listen in order to speak? In other words, hanging on, waiting for their opportunity to speak, or two people listen in order to understand. I think the topic itself is well worth conversation. I'm not one of these people who kind of is very satisfied by saying it's one rather than the other. There was a joke once that I heard, which is that runs a little bit like this, and it's about cross-cultural differences. And it says that if you're in Spain in a conversation, it's incredibly rude not to speak at the same time as the other person is speaking. To hang somebody out to dry with them being the only person who's speaking is the height of disrespect to the person. If you're in Britain, the rules of the conversational game are that you wait until the other person has finished speaking before you then take your turn to speak. And the third form is that in Ireland, people are allowed to hold the audience so long as they can hold it. So you can very well be pushed off your prime position as a speaker in any group if you're not able to hold the attention of your audience. So there are three different cultural habits, if you like. And I found that quite amusing to think about the difference between Spain, the UK and Ireland. Although I'm very conscious when I use the word UK that's a huge, massive stereotyping. But anyway, I'll talk about the southwest of England, where people are very prim and proper and very precise. And I love them all the much for that. So that's it. That's Paul O'Mahony, my contribution to February, day four. And thank you very much again to Sassy Cat for coming up with a lovely, lovely question. Bye for now.